Luke 23, I don't know how many times, probably multiple hundreds of times you've read this passage of Scripture. Jesus has been falsely accused. He's been beaten. He's been spit on. They plucked out his beard. They plucked out his hair. They put a crown of thorns on him. They've nailed him to a cross. The Bible says wicked men did that. And they've done that to him. And now he's hanging on the cross. He has no crown but a crown of thorns. He has no kingdom but people, those few women, and one man disciple standing at the bottom of the cross crying and weeping. And it looks like everything's hopeless and everything's lost, that the cause has been defeated of God's kingdom on planet Earth. And there's two other men hanging beside him, one on each side. And they were malefactors, meaning they were lawbreakers. And they were condemned to die. And one of them was a thief. He was a thief. Do you know what a thief is, son? A thief is somebody that takes something that doesn't belong to them. And God looks very lowly on such as that. And so that's the picture I wanted to paint to you. So we come to chapter 23, verse 37. And this is the thief speaking to him. Remember, he saw no crown but a crown of thorns. He saw no kingdom. He saw no rule. He saw a suffering Savior is what he saw. In verse 37, and that thief, it says, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Now, that's a terrible place to be insulting a man, is when you're dying beside him, ain't it? The man's got to be wicked and blind. But the other, the thief I was talking about, answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. Now here's a testimony of a thief, a dying thief, testifying of who Jesus Christ is, what he saw. He didn't see a fake who said that he could save people and heal people and raise people from the dead. Now he's hanging on a cross. He saw a suffering Savior. And then he said this, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Amen. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. I get chill bumps reading that. I see a picture of him hanging there on that wicked, ungodly made cross. And he's suffering for my sins. Isaiah 53 says God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And by him, by his stripes, we're healed. Healed of our sins. I don't think you can apply that to physical healing. All that was done on that cross was spiritual healing. But here he is, he's hanging between heaven and earth. And God, who cannot look on sin. You can't go to heaven with sin on you. God cannot look on sin. If sin got into heaven, just one sin, it would foul heaven.
That's right.
It would degrade heaven. Yeah. It would corrupt heaven, and it would no longer be heaven. That's why there's a hell.
Yeah.
That's where sin goes, is hell. It doesn't go to heaven. And people, sinners, go to hell. They don't go to heaven. You say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, that makes you a saint. You're no longer classified as a sinner. You're classified as a saint.
Yes, sir.
Now, every day you're going to fail something. You're going to fail. If it's not what you commit, it's what you ought to do, you don't do. Now, listen to me. He hung between heaven and earth. And God couldn't look. God had to turn his back on his son. And the light of God was turned off because God turned his back on his only begotten son. So he hung between heaven and earth, and he was in no man's land. He couldn't go to heaven. And he couldn't stay here because our sins were on him. He became our filth. Every lie we ever told, every sin we ever committed, or every sin we ever thought of committing. He looks on the thoughts and the intents of the heart also. And all of that was laid on him that day. So God turned his back. He couldn't go to heaven, but he couldn't stay on earth either. And God turned his back on him. And it was dark in the middle of the day. And now, and of course, he died and gave up the ghost for our sins.
Thank you, Father.
But I want to show you what happens when God saves a sinner. The same, if you're saved today, this happened when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. The same thing that happened to that thief on the cross happens to every sinner that comes to Jesus Christ by faith. The same thing happens. I want to show you. Number one, it is not a long process to receive salvation. And I've told this story before. Y'all got it written down somewhere. It's probably story number 28. I was knocking on doors one day and the old Red Coach Inn, some of y'all remembered it was up on Main Street. Yes, Main Street, ain't it? Red Coach Inn. We called it Red Roach Inn. It was full of prostitutes and perverts and drugs and everything else. And one Thursday night, I didn't have nowhere to go, so I just stopped over there and started knocking on doors. I had a couple guys with me, but we divided up because it was in wings, and I gave them one wing, I took the other wing. And I knocked on this one door, and this nice-looking man came to the door, and real polite, and I told him who I was. He said, "Oh, well, that's nice of you to be out here inviting people to church." I said, "Well, it's what we're supposed to do." And he said, "Well, I really appreciate that, but I'm a Catholic." I said, "Oh, you're a Catholic?" He said, "Yeah, I'm a Catholic." I said, "Where you go to church?" He said, "Over here at St. John or somewhere." And I kind of didn't feel like that was really the truth, but that's what he said. And I said, "Oh, well, that's a nice building." I always try to say something nice about it. If they say they're Jehovah's Witness, I said, "Man, I like the way y'all build buildings in a weekend. If you got Baptists together for a weekend, all they'd want to do is eat. They wouldn't build nothing." Amen. It's the truth. Of course, he laughed like you did. And I said, "Well, that's a beautiful church. That's a nice thing." I said, "It's important to go to church, isn't it?" And he said, "Yeah, it is." I said, "You know, there's something more important than going to church." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Knowing if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. That's more important than church. A lot of people going to church don't know they're going to heaven. That's the most important thing on planet Earth, is knowing if you died, you go to heaven. I don't care what kind of church you go to. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, you're wasting your time. Might as well go to the golf club or something." But listen to this. He said, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a nice place." He said, "As a matter of fact, I was studying for the ministry." I said, "You were?" He said, "Yeah, I was going to seminary, but I had to drop out." He never told me why he dropped out. I said, "You were? What was you studying?" He said, "Oh, I'm going to be a priest. I was studying for the priesthood." I said, "You were?" He said, "Yeah." And you know, to the average Baptist, that would either intimidate them or get them to degrade him. But this is what I said. I said, "Well, you probably know a lot about the Bible." They don't teach you the Bible in the Catholic seminary. He said, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had to study the Bible." I said, "And you know a lot about what the Bible says about going to heaven." He said, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Well, do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven?" He said, "Oh, that's a long, drawn-out process." I said, "Well, that's strange. I thought I read in the Bible where it says, 'Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" He said, "Yeah, but that's just part of it." I said, "Well, I thought I read somewhere in the Bible said, where it says, 'If thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, then God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart is how a man gets righteous.'" He said, "Oh, yeah, but there's a lot more to it." I said, "I thought the Bible says, 'Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.'" "Yeah, yeah, that's in there, but a lot more to it." I said, "Well, what more can there be to it?" He said, "Well, you got to do penance." You got to get baptized in the Catholic Church. If you do any sins, there's different kinds of sins. You confess them different ways, and you got to go to confessional. And you got to pray to Mary. And he gave me this big long thing, and I said, well, that's strange. March the 5th, 1978, I'm sitting in this little church right down the road over here, and the Holy Spirit of God, through the preaching of the Word, because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, not the Catholic Church or the cemetery, seminary. And he convicted me of my sins through the preaching of the Word, and he drew me to the Savior, and I saw myself as a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And when I saw myself as a sinner, I saw my need of a Savior, and the Bible said that if I'd call on Him, He'd save me because He died in my place. And so I called on Him and He saved me. And I don't know anything about this long process you got. Do you know for sure if you died right now, you go to heaven? Slam. It is not a long process. This man on the cross could not do anything.
Right.
He couldn't get baptized. He couldn't join a church. He couldn't turn over a new leaf. He couldn't quit sinning. He couldn't go make restitution. He could not join anything or quit anything or start anything. But by faith, he could look to Jesus Christ, look and live. My Savior said, if you'll just look and live. It's not a long, drawn-out process. We've got Baptist brethren tell you this stuff. Yeah, I've heard them stand up. You know the testimony. You know, well, I drank a gallon of liquor for 20 years, and I beat my wife, and I beat my children, and God convicted me, and He drew me, and it took Him 10 years, and He drew me, and He beat me, and He drew me, and He did this to me, and He did that to me. And then finally, I gave in, and I got saved. And I want to say, shut up and sit down. You're making all these people think it's hard. You say you believe in easy believism. I sure do. I believe it's easy to believe because He's the one that gives me the faith to believe. I don't do anything but receive what He offers. Amen?
Yes.
And He said if I'd look to Him, He'd save me. If I'd call on Him, He'd save me. If I'd believe on Him, He'd save me. If I'd put all my faith, all my trust, my eternal destiny in His hands, He promised to get me to heaven. And that's what I'm trusting. I'm not trusting about what I quit or what I started or what I did and I quit doing. I'm trusting Him and Him alone. Jesus said, but except you become as a little child, you'll in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. You know what a little child does? You used to do it till you got too smart. A little child stand up on the back of the couch and say, Mommy, catch. I mean, my kids, when they was growing up and they were little and I could still do it, you know, I'd be walking along, you know, I'd come in the house after work, and I'd walk in the door, and sometimes walking by the couch, I'd hear somebody say, Daddy, catch! And I'd turn around, here comes one through the air. That's childlike faith. They know Daddy's going to catch them.
Yes.
They know Daddy will catch them.
Yes.
And it's the same way with God. I say, God, catch. I'm putting my life in your hands. If I die and go to hell, it'll be trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone.
Amen.
It's not hard. It's not long. It's not drawn out. Now, you can make it that way if you want to.
Yes.
Or you can be like a little child and just jump in.
Yes.
Now, I made it hard for about 3 years. I made it complicated. Well, preacher, when I quit this and I start that. Well, pastor, when I quit this. Well, pastor, when I quit that. Well, pastor, when I quit running with this crowd. Well, pastor, when this crowd quits running with me. Well, pastor, when I quit. Hey, finally, March the 5th, 1978, I said, I can't do anything more. There's nothing I can do to get any better. And I just jumped out that aisle and I jumped in His arms and I'm safely in His arms. It's not long. You can be saved right now wherever you're at. You can get saved at your bedside. You can get saved driving down the car, down the road in your car. Driving, you can get saved.
Yes.
Whosoever, whenever, wherever, however, put your trust on Him. Now, the Ethiopian eunuch never even prayed. He was reading Isaiah 53 and God sent Philip out there and he said, now, understandest what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man guide me? And he took the scriptures, he preached unto him Jesus. And you know what that man said? Here's some water, what prevents me from being baptized? He said, if thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe. Saved.
Yes,
saved! Number two, I see in this sinner hanging there on the cross, you must be convinced of your sins. Why would you want a Savior if you didn't know that you were a sinner? You must be convinced of your sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't agree with that, you're self-righteous. And self-righteous will land you right in hell. Self-righteous is no good. It's dirty. That's a sin. Self-righteousness is a sin just as much as drinking liquor or committing adultery. It's a sin. You must be convinced that you are a sinner. Now, here's the problem in America. Everybody's all right. There are no sinners anymore. I mean, you can burn cars and blow up buildings, and you're still not a sinner. You go home, and your mama tells you you're a good boy. Your grandma will tell you you're a good girl. You go down to church, the preacher will say, give me $20, and I'll forgive that. The priest. You run up to this other church and they'll say, well, you know, we all have our shortcomings. No, sin. It's not failure. It's not a shortcoming. It's not an accident. It's not a mistake. It's willful sin. Children are sinners. They're born sinners. They're born after the similitude of Adam, he tells us. And you don't have to teach a child to do wrong. You have to teach a child to do right. And the Bible tells us if a child left unto himself, he's going to turn out wrong every time. Amen. Because he's got a sinful nature. Or she.
Right.
Or she. You notice there are women in these gangs that's burning up stuff. And some of the most foulest, ungodly language. I was lost and going to hell and didn't talk to people like that. And to hear a woman do that? Oh my goodness. And by the way, that crowd demeans womanhood.
Yes.
You say, well, we're equal with men. You don't want to be equal with men in every way. Motherhood's way above fatherhood. Amen. Womanhood's way in the Bible is way above manhood. Man, he goes out and kills the deer and brings him home. Woman runs everything. Go back and read Proverbs. She gets up early and cooks. She sews late at night. She takes care of the food and the children. And hey, that's a big job. We ought to honor them, but that's another sermon, isn't it? It's not a long process. The moment that faith takes hold, your salvation is done. There's nothing you can do. It's done. And here's all the thief said, Clinton. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Yes.
Ain't that something? Yes. Faith. He saw him as Lord hanging on the cross, bleeding to death. Isaiah said you wouldn't recognize him as a man. He was beat to a pulp. Says he had no comeliness that you might desire him. He was ugly and our filth was laid on him and our sin was laid on him. And that's all this thief saw, but he saw something past that he was the King of Glory.
Yes.
And listen, he got convicted by that. I'm afraid we don't preach Jesus enough. If we preach Jesus crucified and resurrected more, I think more people would be convicted of their sins and convinced they're sinners.
Yes.
I think there's too much preaching going on about material things. Pray this. Hey, if you're a Christian, you're going to have a happy day. It won't always be happy days. Well, if you're a Christian, you're going to it's going to be sunshine and roses. Somebody lied to you. Jesus said they hated me, they'll hate you. He said they persecuted me, they persecute you. He said they killed me, they'll kill you. But now you got these preachers with $500 tennis shoes. And by the way, if you buy a pair of tennis shoes for $500, you're an idiot. That's just a side note right there. I don't even have that written down. You're an idiot if you pay that much. And God will take every dime you got because you're wasting the money he gave you. Sometimes I go to Belts and place with my wife. And did you know they sell blue jeans that's already ripped and wore out?
Yeah.
You're an idiot. And if your mom and dad gave you the money to buy that, they're idiots.
Amen.
Don't get mad at me. I'm your preacher. I'm supposed to tell you the truth. And we give you food stamps. Let me tell you something. And you, you complain about the taxes. I better get off of that one. But we must be convinced of our sins. And the only way to do that is preach conviction of the sinner by the, because they're sinners. They're going to hell. They need to be convicted. And if they get convicted, then you point them to the Savior. They'll be convinced that there's a way they can be saved.
Yes.
He was convinced. The other one laughed at the Lord. Made fun of him, mocked him. But this man saw the Lord. He was convinced that Jesus Christ was everything he said he was. And that he was going to be the King of Glory. But you can't get people to that point until you get them to the point that they've got to realize they're a sinner and that they need a Savior. Going to Elevation Church and throwing money in a bucket and standing around doing this right here and creative dancing and all this stuff, that ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. If your pastor can pay for those ripped up, pre-ripped, pre-worn jeans, he's an idiot. I know Facebook people ain't going to like this. I know. I'm sorry. My wife says we got a pretty good crowd coming. Don't run them all. We've got to get back to preaching the Bible, the whole counsel of God. And right is right, and wrong's wrong, and sin is sin. And let me tell you something, we're not going to do that by trying to convince people to come to our church because they're going to get more stuff and better stuff and bigger stuff and better clothes and more expensive lifestyle. That's got nothing to do with the Bible. If God blessed you, you'll thank God, tithe it, and keep your mouth shut.
Good preaching.
Amen. We have people send checks to this church a lot of times, don't even go to this church. And hey, what do you think we're going to do? Send them back? No, here's what I think. They either found out something or they heard the Facebook Live or something, and they said the truth's down there is worth investing in.
Praise God. Yes. Thank
you. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, you're almost out of time. I'm not even halfway through my sermon. I hate preaching twice. I'll be glad to get back to Nick. Listen. It takes me twice to preach one sermon. Listen. Once they're convinced, they must call on the name of the Lord. You're not saved because your mama is, son. And son, I don't know who your mama is, but you're not saved because your mama is. Your daddy is. Your grandma is. Your grandpa is. Your brother is. Your sister is. You're not saved because of where you live or where you go to church or where you go to school or how much money you got in the bank. You must call upon the name of the Lord, convinced that he's the Savior and convicted that you need one.
Yes.
Ephesians 2:8-9, God saves the sinner completely by grace, 100%. For by grace are you saved through faith. And what does it say? And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Lest any man should boast. We have nothing to brag about. And this dying thief on the cross is perfect proof and a perfect illustration and a perfect example that we are saved by grace through faith alone. It's by grace. It's grace that saves you. It's grace that keeps you. And it'll be grace that gets you into glory. It's all undeserved love, every bit of it. You ain't never going to be good enough. You never was. You never will be. You believe on him. You call on him. He'll save you and he will change you. You'll be a new creature, but you'll never be enough. You can't do it. You can't. I feel sorry for Christians that think that they can do something to add to their salvation or keep their salvation. Nothing you can do. The thief could do nothing. Only two things happened on that cross with him. Number one, he believed in his heart. Romans 10:19, you got to believe in your heart. That's the inner man. He believed. You ever heard this? I love her with all my heart. I love him with all my heart. That means all your being, all that's in you, you love somebody. And that day that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you believe on him with all your being. You're putting everything on him, and you're not looking for anything else. That's what the thief did. And then number two, you confess it with your mouth. He publicly, in front of all those people, mocking and jeering and hating him and hating Jesus and hating the other man on the cross. It was a public spectacle. It was almost like a country fair. So many people would come to watch men die, and they thought it was a big deal. They liked to watch men suffer and die. And ain't that a cruel thing? And they were mocking him. They were mocking Jesus. They were mocking the other man. And yet he publicly proclaimed his faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. Let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." If you're ashamed of your faith in Jesus Christ, you probably don't have the faith.
Amen.
That's right. I've been saved since 1978. There's been many times I've been ashamed of me. But there's not ever been not one time. Yeah. Not one time I've been ashamed of him or my faith in him, because he's the one that gave me the faith.
Yes.
Why would I be ashamed of him? The pure, perfect, sinless Son of God. Then once you do that, assurance comes. And my time is 2 minutes. 2 Peter chapter 1, if you want to turn there, in verse 4 he says this, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature." You see that? Not sinner, saint. "Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And beside this, "given all diligence." Pay attention to what he said. "Add your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. 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 Assurance comes when salvation comes. Look, if somebody can make you doubt your salvation, you ain't got it.
Right. Amen.
You hear me? You ain't got it. Well, this teacher's got me thinking about this. Well, the teacher's right out of hell.
Amen.
And you need to look at him and say, "I don't believe that, and I don't care how much you talk, I'm never going to believe that, because I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." You're going to go to hell if you want to, but I'm on my way to heaven, and I couldn't turn back if I wanted to. I'm just as saved right now as I'll ever be. Shut up. I'm sorry, that wasn't... You ain't supposed to say that. I'm going to make it scriptural. Shut us thine mouth.
Amen.
Did you know that salvation changed his outlook, and he was on the cross and had nowhere else to go and knew he was never coming down till he died? But it changed his whole outlook. Did you know that when you get saved, it'll change a sinner's outlook, because you get a new nature? Your old nature is death and depression and ugliness and darkness and sinfulness, and you get born again, and he gives you a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit, and you'll think different, you'll talk different, you'll act different, your attitude will be different. Nobody have to beg you to live for for God, you'll want to live for God. Nobody have to beg you to get baptized, you'll want to get baptized. Nobody have to beg you to read the Bible, you'll want to read the Bible. Nobody have to beg you to witness, you'll want to witness. Nobody have to beg you to live right, you'll want to live right. Nobody have to beg you to join the church, you'll join the church. Nobody have to beg you to go to church, you'll be the first one there. Like that fellow said, if y'all want to have a meeting to spit off the front porch, I want to be there. He looked beyond the cross. He looked beyond that situation. He even looked beyond his own death.
Right?
Well, he was a positive thinker. Now, there wasn't nothing positive going on that day except his salvation. He had nothing to look to. There was no hope outside of Jesus Christ. So he was looking beyond all those other things going on that day and looking over into heaven and saying, that's where I want to end up right there. And I'm not going to have another chance. This is it. And he believed on the Savior. And a thief was born again.
Yes.
Now I can't call him thief anymore. He's not a thief anymore. Now he's a saint.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. There's a lot of things I used to be. I ain't no more.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I didn't say it scripturally. I ain't no more. You just put that TH on there. You can say anything. I talk like I'm from Chester. Chester. Anyhow, there's some folks in here look nervous as a long tailed cat in a rocking chair factory. So here it is. If you examine your own salvation experience, would it be comparable to that thief's experience? You say, well, he's on the cross dying. You're dying too. You just don't know when the final death's going to be. Every day you're dying. Y'all take a bath? Y'all take a bath, son? Clinton, I'm not sure. Do you take a bath? Okay. You know what happens when you take a bath? You wash all those dead cells off. You're dying every day, dead cells. You know what happens if you don't? The Lazarus effect. He stinketh. Some of y'all don't even know the story of Lazarus. That was a joke. You got to wash the dead man, the dead woman off every day because you're dying. Now, we don't know when that final day of death will be, but we know it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And this man had enough sense to look to the final death. Now, he was dying. Well, no doubt about it. There wasn't no coming back for him. Wasn't any doctor going to put him on a breathing machine or something. He knew he was dying. Let me tell you something. I know that me and you are dying too. We just don't know when the final breath's coming. Our life's like a vapor that appears for a little while, then it vanishes away. Go down to the cemetery. A lot of people down there, nobody even knows they're down there. Nobody remembers them. And some of them's only been dead 20, 30 years, and people don't even know who they are anymore. Our life's like a vapor. It appears for a little while, then it's gone. We're just passing through, Brother Hallroyd. We're dying. But thank God, March 5th, 1978, I received eternal life. The real me's never going to die. I'm going to live as long as God lives. You can nail me to a cross, but when I close my eyes in physical death, I'm going to wake up on the other side. Be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. You can't scare me with heaven.
That's it.
And that's what death is, heaven. So I want to ask you, if you compared your salvation experience to his, how would it add up? If you're and I wrote this down because of what's going on around us today. If you're continually defending your life or your lifestyle,
Wow.
Well, you can't judge me. No, I don't have to. That's already been done. It was done at the cross. Now, what are you going to do with what was done at the cross? That's the question. I don't have to judge you. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We've all got to face God one day. And he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he's not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. put your salvation experience up next to that thief on the cross. You say, I'm not a thief. All have sinned. Well, I'm not that bad. All, hey, everybody's heart is deceitfully wicked. It's just the grace of God. You ain't out there burning police cars yourself. It's just the grace of God. You ain't pushing a needle in your arm.
Amen.
It's just the grace of God. You ain't passed out somewhere over there in the woods living in a pup tent drinking yourself to death. It's the grace of God. We've all sinned. Don't think you're any different than anybody that's been this way since Adam. And it'll be this way till the last Adam man on earth dies. And you're either going to go to Jesus Christ and be saved, or you'll be eternally doomed like the thief was before he turned to Christ. Now, if you're not saved today, today would be a good day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your eternal salvation.